Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. And I am just so glad that I can be a part of the ministry of serving the Lord. And I tell you, as I have driven through these, I guess you just call this area a concrete jungle, I just cannot imagine driving for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles and never leave a city. And when you're used to the village and you're used to being out in the middle of nowhere and working with these different people in the tribal areas and stuff, I am glad that God has placed you in Long Beach, California. Amen. And I am so glad that we have the opportunity of being in Uganda. And once again, thank you so much for your help and your prayers and your support in helping us to be able to continue working there. I know that most of you cannot see or meet my family that is here tonight, but I do want to just simply recognize them and thank them for the heart that they have for the ministry as well. I could not do it without them. And pray for us. Again, this is every time a missionary comes back on furlough, sometimes things begin to change. God has blessed us with 6 children, and our oldest is going to be getting married coming up in September. Our second son is just graduated from Bible college, and then the 4 children we have remaining with us that are here with us tonight, 2 of them will be remaining, will be starting Bible college in August, and so we'll be going back to the field with only 2 children out of the 6 that God's given to us, and so that's going to be a big change in our life and our ministry, and so pray for us about that. And it's one thing for, you know, to send, when you send your child off to Bible college or send them off to university someplace, and you know, when you're in the same country, but when you're halfway around the world, it's quite another thing. And so just pray for us as we go through that. Pray for us as we go through our furlough. As you can imagine, things are a little bit different now, and so just pray that God continues to bless and supply, and Lord willing, if everything works out and things get back to somewhat of normalcy, we plan on returning to Uganda in January. And so just pray for us if you would. I would really appreciate that. And once again, if you have, if you can, when you do come in, be sure to get one of our prayer cards and pray for us, as I know that you already do. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd ask you to turn to the book of Job. The book of Job and chapter number 2. Job and chapter number 2. You know, life is full of change. And I think more than ever, we have noticed that. We've things that just are normal. I mean, now you can't go to the grocery store unless you have arrows to tell you which way you're supposed to go. And I was in a hotel last night, and they pretty much barricaded the whole front desk with this plexiglass. And I mean, it just seems like everywhere you go, things are changing. And I like to walk every morning. And so this morning I was walking, just walking down the sidewalk. It's when I like to have my time of prayer and talking to the Lord, and people see about, you know, 20 feet down the road, and they'll walk out in the street just to go around you, and they don't want to be close to you at all. And so we're living in a time of change. For as Pastor Myers has just been talking about in the announcements, things are going to be changing in the next few weeks as far as your services are concerned and the number of people and how you conduct yourself. And one of the things that I have always enjoyed about God's people is just the ability to fellowship. I love the ability to talk to people, and I remember growing up that it was a common thing that in our family we were usually one of the last people to leave the church, because we just enjoyed that fellowship with God's people, enjoyed being around that, and so there's going to be some changes that are going to be involved in that, and sometimes we resist change, and we don't like change, we don't like the way things are, and when it gets out of what we know of as normal, then we tend to resist that a little bit. And I just want to talk to you just for a few minutes tonight about some things that in our lives that should not change, even though we're in an ever-changing world. things that don't need to change in our church, things that that should not be changing in our personal lives, even though things are changing all around us, there's some things that just have to keep on going. There's some things that just have to continue in our lives that we must not compromise, we must not take away, we must keep on going. And if there was anyone in the Bible that faced a change in his life and faced uncertainty in his life and things taken away from him and upheaval in schedule, an upheaval in health, an upheaval in his finances, an upheaval in everything in his life, we find this man by the name of Job. And you know the story. I don't have to tell the whole story to you, but you understand that Job was a very rich man. He was a very godly man. He was a man that that relied upon the Lord and had fellowship with the Lord and loved the Lord and raised his children to love the Lord and taught them to sacrifice to the Lord. And God blessed Job in a great way and even gave him protection from the onslaught of Satan and did all kinds of wonderful, great things for Job. But you understand as you read chapter 1 that that things begin to change drastically in Job's life. And things begin to be out of the normal and out of what he was used to and the lifestyle that he was used to and the financial situation he was used to and the good health that he experienced was about to change. And all these things begin to happen in his life. But there was something in Job's life that Job said, listen, through all of this, I am not going to change. Through all of this, I am not going to allow this to affect what God has done for me. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Job chapter 2. And in Job chapter 2, notice in verse number 3, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Look in verse number 9. The Bible says, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Look over in chapter number 27. Job in chapter number 27, and notice there in verse number 3, Job 27 and verse number 3, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. Now here you have a man that we would no doubt call a man of God. This man was a man that even God in his description of him said that he was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God, one that hated evil. And God allowed Satan to come in and literally in a matter of hours, literally take everything away from Job in his life, took all of his source of income, took his children, took his health, took all of these things away from Job. And Job said, listen, though this change has happened in my life, I will still hold on to mine integrity. Right is always going to be right. Wrong is always going to be wrong. And change should not affect that. You know, we've gone through these changes going around, and I understand that every state is different and every county is different and every city is different, and so we've all had a different level of experience as far as this change is concerned. But I just want to reiterate something tonight, that this book is still God's word and God is still in control, and no matter what changes we may have to go through and no matter what the new normal may be, God says, hold on to your integrity. Do what is right no matter what. Do what is right. Listen, just because change happens does not change the fact that we must still give our tithes and our offerings. Just because change happens does not mean that we change the way we think and what we're watching and what we're listening to and how we're conducting ourselves in the area of holiness. All of that does not change just because we are living in an ever-changing world. God's word still needs to be read. We still need to spend time in prayer. We still need to practice holiness. We still need to give to missions. We still need to send out missionaries. And may I say, we still need to get out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Integrity is that high moral standard. Integrity is that ability to understand that, listen, I may be changing, I may be in a world that is changing, and I may be in a world that is constantly up and down and uncertain and never knowing from one week to the next what we're going through, but there's something that I can always hold on to, and that is right is always right and wrong is always wrong. And I just want to encourage Pacific Baptist Church that in these times of change, and praise the Lord, we're starting to come back and we're starting to meet in our churches and we're going to be starting to see each other. But even in that, you're going to see change. And even in that, there's going to be some things that we're not used to and we're not comfortable with. But may I encourage you, do what is right. Do what's right. Don't let what is happening in the world today and the chaos that's in the world today and the confusion that's in the world today, don't let that deter us as God's people from being that bastion of what is right and how to live right and how to live holy and how to conduct ourselves the way God intended us to conduct ourselves. And so we must not change our integrity. What a great testimony that God himself would look at Job and say, Job, this man, Satan, this man has not given up his integrity. I want to be a man of God. I want my children to be children of God. I want my wife to be a lady of God. And even though we go through these changes and even though we go through these upheavals in our schedules, in our life and what we're doing, I want to make sure that we have started this thing doing right, we go through it doing right, and we finish it coming out on the other side as strong as ever, standing and living and doing what is right for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I will not give up mine integrity. But there's another man in the Bible, and I know there's many examples, but I just want you to see just a few of these examples. Another man in the Word of God that had his life literally changed from one direction to another, and that man is a man by the name of Joseph. And Joseph, again, these are very familiar stories with you. And Joseph was a son that was a favorite of his father and out taking care of the sheep and out minding his own business and just doing what he was supposed to do. And God allowed Joseph to have two dreams. And these dreams prophesied to Joseph and said, Joseph, listen, you one day are going to be a great leader. One day you are going to rule over your brothers. You're going to rule over your parents. You are going to be in charge one day. And so those dreams came into him. And as a result of those dreams, he was mocked. He was made fun of. Even his father, to some degree, mocked those dreams. And so Joseph, I'm sure, was wondering, where did those come from? Why did I even have those dreams? And then you go into Joseph's life, and any hint or any chance of those dreams coming to pass just seemed to be taken away at every step of his life. He's minding his own business. He's taking care of the sheep like he's supposed to. And all of a sudden, he finds himself sold into slavery. And now he is being taken down to Egypt and being sold to Potiphar. And he begins to rise up in Potiphar's house and begins to get some leadership there. And then he's accused of inappropriate behavior. And so then he gets sent into prison and in the dungeon and totally away from everyone and away from any type of position of authority. And I'm sure that in Joseph's mind, he's wondering, what in the world is going on? What in the world is happening in my life? But I want you to notice in Genesis chapter 50, the very last chapter of Genesis, chapter number 50, and I want you to notice a statement here that Joseph makes to his brothers. In Genesis chapter 50, the Bible says there in verse number 19, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." May I say, secondly, here that in an ever-changing world and in the ever-changing world that Joseph was involved in, Joseph never lost sight of his dreams. He never lost sight of his dreams. And through the prison and through the false accusations and through the slavery and through all the things that he went through, he understood, listen, I didn't understand what I was going through. I didn't understand the changes that God was bringing to my life. But God meant it for good so that I could do much more for him and I could save you and keep you from destruction. May I say this as we go through this time of change in our ministries, in our homes, in our communities, in our churches, may I say, don't let the dreams change. The dreams that your pastor has for this church and the dreams that you have for your home and your family and the dreams that you have for your class and the dreams that you have for reaching this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the dreams that you have of finishing your building and the dreams that you have of giving and raising funds and all the things that you have in store that you believe that God wants you to accomplish. Hey, keep those dreams alive. Yes, there's a lot of changes, and yes, there's a lot of ups and downs, and we're checking in our bank accounts, and we're checking our 401ks, and we're checking the Dow Jones Industrial, and we're checking all of these things, and we're trying to determine, are we going to make it? Are we going to get through this? Is this going to be something that is going to last for a long time? And I'm just saying, listen, I don't know how long it's going to last, and I don't know what we're going to be going through, but don't let it affect your dreams. Keep your dreams alive. Oh, you get behind your pastor. Your pastor has dreams for this church. Your pastor has dreams for this community. And get behind him and say, hey, yes, there's a lot of changes going on, but we're going to get behind you and we're going to help this church accomplish the dreams that God has put in the hearts of God's men here. Don't let these changes change your dreams. Because my friend, we can come out on the other side of this better for it or worse for it. And it's our choice. Joseph came out on the other side of a ever-changing world better for it. And Joseph was able to have a great impact, a greater impact than he could have ever had he not gone through those changes. Our world today is being opened up to thinking about death and you know, people talk about the coronavirus and they talk about all the, you know, we've got to protect ourselves and we've got to do this and we've got to do that and you know, people say, well, what do you think about that? And I say, listen, I've been 24 years in a country where we have Ebola outbreaks and we live with 50% of our congregation with the AIDS virus and we live with malaria and we live with all of these diseases around us all the time. You say, what do? You just keep going. You just keep going. You use the common sense that God has given you, and you still reach out and accomplish the dreams that God's called you to do. I believe there's so much more that needs to be accomplished in Uganda. And I've had people ask me, well, you know, how's this going to affect your ministry there? And how's this going to, are you going to be able to go back? And are you going to be, hey, listen, I don't know. But my dreams are still there. And by God's grace, I will see those dreams fulfilled. These changing times are not going to change that. Can we think just a little bit about all that the church has gone through the last 2,000 years? And we're talking about imprisonment. We're talking about burning at the stake. We're talking about people that are just for just having a copy of the Word of God. And we have a coronavirus going around, and we're talking about quitting on God. And we're talking about how bad it is. Oh, I'm telling you, take those dreams and see them fulfilled. There's another man in the Bible that went through changes in his life. If you look in the book of Psalms, chapter 40, Psalm chapter 40, we call it the songbook of the Old Testament. Psalm chapter 40, most of the psalms there were written by David. I want to draw your attention to a psalm here because, again, you find a man who was a shepherd, like Joseph was, minding his own business, doing what he was supposed to do, and all of a sudden the prophet comes along and pours oil on David's head and says, David, you're going to be the next king. And then you find just a few verses later, David is back taking care of the sheep. And just when it seems like he should be the king and when it seems like he should be in charge, we find David being the one that is being chased by Saul and Saul's envy and Saul trying to destroy him. And instead of living the life that God anointed him to live and instead of living the life that God intended for him to have, we find David living in caves and we find David leading cutthroats and thieves and robbers and we find David living a life that he never ever thought was going to be the life that he would live. What a life of change. What a life that was not what it was not anything that he imagined it would be. But you know one thing that I've noticed about David, if you look in Psalm 40, in verse number 1, the Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto me. And heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. May I say number 3, that remaining unchanged in an ever-changing world, we must not allow our song to change. David was that boy taking care of those sheep, and no doubt during those times of taking care of the sheep, David learned how to play that harp and he learned how to sing and he learned how to compose music and he learned how to put all these things together. And through all the changing and all the upheaval of his life and all the things that he went through and the accusations and the chasing and being treated like a common criminal, all these things happened in his life, through all of that, David never lost his song. Ah, listen to me. Do you understand? Do you understand? God is in control. And that's something to sing about. God's in control. None of this is a surprise to him. None of this is snuck up on him at all. God's in control. I've read the end of the book. I know how it's going to end. I know what this world is going to be going through in the future. Listen, the Bible has told us it's going to get worse. Why are we surprised about that? Why are we surprised when these changes are going to start taking place? Because let me tell you something, the longer the Lord tarries, the more we're going to see changes that are worse than what we're seeing today. But that does not take God off the throne. And that does not take God out of the equation in every day of our life, no matter what change that we're going through, whether it's financial, whether it's family, whether it's health, whatever it is, may I encourage you here at Pacific Baptist Church, keep that song in your heart. God is good all the time. We ought to be praising him. We ought to be uplifting him. We ought to be glorifying him instead of going around and complaining all the time and talking about why we can't do this and why we can't go there and why we can't accomplish this. Hey, God is still good. God is still good. Oh, we had all kinds of plans. You know, whenever we travel on furlough, I try to book, and God blessed, and I'm booked solid every single service until January of next year, and so God is blessed in that way. But as we travel, we like to see things. We like to do things as a family. Well, you know, we wanted to go to the Grand Canyon. Well, that got knocked out. And we wanted to see this park. We were going to go to the Sequoia National Park, and they're closed right now. And we always like to, every time we come into this area, we like to go to Knott's Berry Farm. And that's closed down. But you know what? Doing things and sitting in a restaurant and being able to entertain ourselves, that is not the source of my joy. God is my song in the night. He is the one that I praise every day. And listen, I go out and I walk every morning, and one of the things that I try to do every morning is I look at God's creation, and I thank God for Him being our creator. I thank God for Him giving me the breath that I can breathe, the strength that I have to walk. I thank God for the family He's given me that has a desire to serve the Lord. I'm telling you, through this whole thing, these last few months, God is still good. Don't let a virus take away your song. Don't let a loss of income take away your song. Don't let a change in your schedule take away your song. God is still good. David said, I will not take away my song. And we look at those psalms all the way through the book of Psalms, psalm after psalm after psalm, sometimes written when he was in the cave, sometimes written with the sheep, sometimes written as a king, but through it all, he never lost his song. And I wonder today if that's one of the reasons why he was a man after God's heart, because he never lost his song. Let me give you two more very quickly, and we'll be finished tonight. Look in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews chapter 11, once again, a very familiar portion of scripture, but there's another man here that went through some change in his life, that his life was upended, his life went through all kinds of different change. Notice the Bible says here in verse number 8, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. How many times have we made the statement, things are changing from day to day? Just don't know. No, I don't know what we're going to do next week. I don't know what's going to be open. I don't know what the regulations are going to be. I don't know what they're going to try to do. We live in a time of uncertainty. The Bible says that God told Abraham, Abraham, I want you to leave, I want you to follow, and I want you to go someplace, but I'm not going to tell you where it is. But the Bible says he obeyed and went out. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. But then it gives the reason why he could do this by faith. The Bible says in verse number 10, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. May I say that when you go through a life of uncertainty and a life that is constantly changing, keep your eyes fixed on the goal. Heaven's never going to change. I have an inheritance, the Bible says, that is reserved and waiting for me. I have determined since this thing started, I've spent many years in Africa. I've been around all kinds of diseases. I've been around all kinds of sickness and suffering and heartache, and I've been around that all the time. But I just determined that as we go through this, and people are worried and they're concerned, and you know, what if I get the coronavirus, and what if I get sick, and what if I die? Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you this. Every one of us are going to die one day. Be it from the virus or be it from a car accident. Listen, I don't know. I've had people tell me that your traffic right now in this area is nice, and that's one of the silver linings of this outbreak. But I'm telling you, if this is light traffic, I don't know what you guys normally go through. I'll shake everyone's hand in Long Beach, California, if I don't have to drive on these roads anymore. I feel closer to death on these roads than I do from any virus. But I'm just saying, we spend so much time focusing on news. We don't spend any time focusing on heaven. We spend all of the time, we put all of our hope in what doctors and professionals and government leaders and all these people want to tell us, and we're glued to it, and it has literally ingrained a fear that we might die. Well, I'll just tell you very quickly, we are all going to die. But I'm just saying, as God's people, we should not live in fear. We should live with our eyes fixed on heaven. Amen? Hey, God says, Abraham, I want you to pick up your family. I want you to go. Where are we going to go? I'm not going to tell you till you get there. And so the Bible says Abraham picked up his possessions and went, not where he was going. Why? Because there was a place whose builder and maker is God. He had his eyes fixed on the eternal, not on what he was going to get on this earth. Oh, may I encourage you today, when things are changing, don't look to man for your confidence. Look to the Lord. Don't look to your bank account, and don't look to your health, and don't look to all these things. I'm just saying, listen, we've got to start putting our eyes on heaven. That's where it matters. And so bring about whatever happens in this world. Bring about whatever happens in this life, and whatever happens in the country. Again, as Pastor said, I'm saddened when anybody dies of anything. My hope is not in this life. My hope is in heaven. And that's not going to change. But quickly, let me give you the last thing, and I'll be finished tonight. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, we find another man whose life was full of change. Almost every year, almost every month, in a different place. The Bible says he was beaten 8 times, stoned, shipwrecked, chased from city after city, challenged by the false prophets, never having a home to settle in, always concerned for the care of the churches, always having to confront false doctrine. A life full of change, a life full of uncertainty, a life where Paul says, I don't know what's going to abide me. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse number 22, the Bible says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He says, one thing that is certain that I know of, he says, I don't know what's going to happen when I get there, but I'm probably going to end up in jail. I'm probably going to end up in prison. I'm probably going to end up with affliction. You see, we have been raised in a culture here in the United States of America. We've been raised in a culture where there is no affliction. We've been raised in a culture where there is no persecution. We've been raised in a culture where there is no there's no fear of bondage. All of that has seemed to change in the last 2 months. Now all of a sudden in this bubble of the United States of America, where we are supposedly protected by the Constitution of the United States, now we have preachers and churches that are being arrested and people being fined just for walking on the church property. Paul says, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that bonds and affliction is going to be there. But notice what he says in verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. I wonder how many of us are going to let the coronavirus keep us from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to some sinner. People say, well, what are you going to do? You go to Uganda and half the population has AIDS. How are you going to talk to people? You go up, you shake their hand, you love them, and you give them the gospel. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. May I say that in a world that is ever changing, the ministry of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ has not changed. It has even affected me. You ask yourself the question, should I give this person this gospel tract? Are they going to think that there's virus on the gospel tract? Maybe I should not offer them a gospel tract. Well, if I talk to them, are they going to want to talk to me? Are they going to want to listen to what I have to say? And we'll allow fear, we'll allow this change to help to cause us to draw back. May I say that viruses and serious viruses have existed in this earth since sin came into this earth. It doesn't change the fact that we've got to get the gospel. This morning I was walking, and when you walk through Long Beach, it's really difficult to thank God for his creation because you don't really see much of it. You got to look up to the stars and the moon. There's not a whole lot to see but concrete. But as I'm walking along, and again, I always try to carry gospel tracts with me when I go out. And recently I purchased some tracts that I carry with me that talk about the coronavirus and give them the gospel. And I like to just give to people and say, hey, if you've not heard everything about the coronavirus, here's something else for you to read. And I was walking along this morning, usually as I'm walking, it even happened this morning, as you're walking along, people just seem to skirt around you and they don't want to talk to you and they just move away. But this morning I was walking along, and this gentleman, he's an older guy, he actually told me he was 65 years old, but he's walking along and meets me at the corner. And he says, are you walking? I said, yeah, I'm walking out here. He says, getting some exercise? He said, yeah. He says, can I walk with you? I said, sure. And so we start walking. We walk probably for a mile or so together, and just talking, find out about his family. I asked him about his home and his children and his life and what he did here in Long Beach and things. And then we were able to turn it around, and I was able to give him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I thought to myself, I said, Lord, thank you for helping me to see that even in a situation like this, there are still people willing to listen. But we got to get out there. Well, they may not listen. Well, has that ever changed? There were people who might not listen before this happened. We got to get the gospel out. Well, they might not take that track. They might not. But then again, they might. Do you know, since this coronavirus has taken place, I've never had one person refuse to take a gospel tract in the United States of America. Not one. Because in an ever-changing world, there are some things that must not change. And one of the things that must not change is our burden and desire to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. People are lost, they're dying and going to hell, they're thinking about eternity. What an opportunity. Amen. So, we're living in a changing world, ever changing, always changing. But there are some things that should not change. Our integrity, our song, our dreams, our faith, and our mission to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to Long Beach, California. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Lord, thank you for the opportunity Thank you, Lord, for this church and how it's meant so much to me through the years, and just the testimony and the example that this church has and the people that this church is training and getting the gospel out in this area. Lord, I pray, help us, Lord, as we come out on the other side of this, Lord, I pray that we will remain unchanged. I pray that Pacific Baptist Church will come back even stronger. I pray that there will be a greater resolve in people's hearts to come back and do even more and greater things for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, Pastor. Thank you.